أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. By the grace of Allah, we have just finished our third day of Ramadan 2019. Some of you, it's their fourth day. And we're looking at ayah number 42 of Surah Ali Imran in part 3 of the Quran. This is on page 55 of the standard Quran Ottoman script. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قالت الملائكة يا مريم إن الله اصطفاك وطهرك واصطفاك على نساء العالمين. And when the angels said, O Mary, surely Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the women of the nations. So obviously this is about Lady Mary alayhi salam. She is appearing in Surah Ali Imran, which is the family of Maryam alayhi salam. So this, a lot of the verses in this chapter relate to Mary and her story and what happened to her mother and her uncle, the husband of her mother's sister, and how she deals with hardship and what her status is. So Maryam alayhi salam has a very interesting life, and it's quite detailed. There's a lot about her in the Quran. Her birth breaks stereotypes. Her journey through her very young life before she gave birth is very unusual for her time. And her, you know, bringing Isa into the world and the challenges that she faced are described in the most beautiful emotional description that you can find in the Quran. So the story goes, as described in the Quran, that the father of Maryam alayhi salam was made aware by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will have a son, and this son will be a prophet and he will cure the sick. And so the family was expecting a male child that will do this. So when Maryam's mother got pregnant, Hannah, she thought it was a boy, and she made a vow that when this child is born, she will dedicate him to the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the child is born, and of course it is a girl. The Quran describes the shock of the mother to know that it's a girl, and she's put in this position of how does she implement her vow, how does she make good her vow when it is a girl, knowing fully that she cannot enter into the temples because the women are regarded as unclean, and they're not allowed to be entering temples, and that worship was limited to the males inside the temple, particularly inside certain parts of the temple. So she's seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, and she's making dua for the protection of Maryam. She calls her Maryam, which is basically in Hebrew meaning saint worshipping lady, and takes her to the temple, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts her vow and accepts Maryam, and in the best of ways. And there is a lot of beautiful description in the Quran about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats Maryam. You know, he cherishes her, he protects her, he nurtures her, he purifies her, he chooses her. And in fact, her story in the Quran shows that women can reach the position of divine sainthood, that women are not barred from that spiritually. They are able to do that. They also receive revelations. They speak to angels and angels speak back to them. They have, in terms of piety and purity, can be set as an example for all people, not just for women. The name Maryam is mentioned in the Quran 34 times. This is in addition to the mention of her in the third person or first person. Nabi Isa, the Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, was mentioned in the Quran, is mentioned in the Quran 25 times. Of those 25 times, 11 of them, his name is linked to Maryam alayhi salam. When a name is mentioned in the Quran, it is usually mentioned to elevate the person. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the names of the prophets. He mentions very pious individuals, like for example, Luqman alayhi salam. But he mentions, in terms of women, Maryam alayhi salam. There are other women mentioned in the Quran, like for example, Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, but she is referred to as the wife of Pharaoh, not directly by name. Similarly, the mother of Moses. But here, Maryam is mentioned by name. By the way, an interesting fact, her name is mentioned in the Quran more often than the New Testament. So the question is then, why? Why is Maryam mentioned so often in the Quran? What importance does she have? And what can she show us and teach us through her example? If we look at the ayat, the particular ayat that we're talking about, which is ayah number 42 of Surah Ali Imran, and when the angels said, so here the angels are speaking directly to Maryam, O Maryam, surely Allah has chosen you. So they're delivering the message to her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the women of the world. The word chosen in the Arabic, istafaki, is mentioned twice in the same ayah. It's mentioned firstly on its own, has chosen you, and then it's mentioned in connection to other women of the nations, above other women of the nations. At first it seems odd, you know, what does that mean? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose her twice in the same ayah? Has chosen you, and then he has purified you, and then he has chosen you above the women of the world. There is a number of opinions about this and why these two uses of chosen are put in the same ayah. But I'm presenting you with one most convincing view, in my opinion, which is basically that her roles in her time require two particular positions. The first one related to her obligation as a worshipper of Allah, related to her virtues and her to her piety and to her purity. And on that basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects her and chooses her for another role, for another obligation, which is something, an obligation that only a woman can participate in, which is giving birth to a child. And she's chosen to give birth to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. This is not about the fact that she is chosen as an example only in relation specific to women, but rather that her role is specific to her gender, and she is required to do something that only women are able to do. So in the first use of the word chosen, istafaki, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms this through other ayat. So for example, in Surah Al-Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of Maryam alayhi salam as وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. Qanitin is a reference to the masculine form of those who are worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it were to be in the feminine form of qanit, it would have been qanitat. وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتَاتِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the masculine form of worshippers who are in deep form of worship to Allah as a masculine version. This masculine version in the Quran refers to both genders, basically males and females. So in Surah Al-Tahrim, Maryam alayhi salam is used in that way to give an example in terms of faith and worship and virtues, that she's an example to both men and women. Another ayah, وَجَعَلْنَاهَا وَابْنَهَا آيَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, and we have made her and her son an example or a sign to all people, al-alamin, again, to all people, not just to the women of all nations, but to all nations. So having looked at that, being women ourselves, this is even more important for us to understand the role of Maryam alayhi salam, her characteristics, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choice of her to represent the virtues that you know, she carries forward as a believer, as a worshipper of Allah, as well as in her role as a woman. I've put together 8 different characteristics that I think it would be worthwhile for us to look at very quickly in relation to Maryam alayhi salam. Firstly, serenity. She's really described in the Quran as having confidence and having a certainty and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When she receives a blessing, she is asked about the blessing. It's a fruit that she receives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when she's questioned about it by Zakariya alayhi salam, she answers, "Huwa min indillah." It is from Allah. Very calm, very calmly, and trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision and what he has decided for her. Same thing when it comes to facing hardship, when she's put in a position where she has to face the men of the temple as she becomes pregnant. She has this confidence about her, and she's walking forward towards them with complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with that sakina, with that tama'nina, the serenity that accompanies her and accompanies someone with complete faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one, serenity. Number two, the emotion that is displayed through her story as she goes through the various hardships and the life that a woman generally goes through, whether it's giving birth or facing the community and the challenges and the criticism, or being seen with a critical eye, with expectations that are not fulfilled according to the community, and how she expresses those emotions. You know, when she gives, you know, she's in the throes of giving, you know, birth to Isa alayhi salam. Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasiyan mansiya. If only I were dead before this, and I were a forgotten thing. It's a beautiful expression about the pain that she was experiencing at that point. You know, a lot of us imagine, you know, if you are someone who's close to Allah, you know, you don't feel pain anymore, that physical aspect is not there, everything is beautiful, everything is flowers, you're above this physical world. But in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains her pain in such beautiful human words. The third thing is her strength, which follows on from her emotion. So despite the emotions that she was experiencing, the hesitation, the complete shock at the idea that she is going to carry a child, or that she is going to bring this child to the community, she still has that strength that stems from her serenity to stand before this judgmental society, that chauvinistic society that treats women as these impure creatures that cannot enter temples, that cannot worship God, that they are not at that level and cannot attain that taqwa and that qunut level that the men can. The fourth point is that she breaks ground, of course, by her strength, by the fact that she's serving in a temple as the only and first woman to enter Solomon's temple and to serve in Jerusalem. She's ordered to do that by Allah. Ya Maryam, irka'i ma'ar raki'in, you know, bend with the others. And she's entering and entering the hall of prayers, and she bends and puts her head down with all the others in prayers to Allah, despite the fact that this is seen as blasphemy, this is seen as going against what they have dictated to be the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth thing is that she's a mother. Isa alayhi salam, he was attributed to her to honor him. Her name honors him because of who she was on her own as a person, through her piety and through her virtues, through her strength, through her faith and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being a mother is the most difficult task. We all know that as women, as mothers, But it's also the most neglected job, you know, in around the world, whether you're talking about first world countries or third world countries. You know, if you are a mom, you're regarded as having, you know, this part-time thing that you're supposed to manage while doing the real job outside in the world, while you're bringing money to the home. If you're not bringing money to the home, then what are you doing with your time? So being a parent seems to be seen as lesser of a job than anything else. We all know as moms that being a parent, a mother particularly, is much harder than any other job, no matter what profession we have, whether we're doctors or engineers, or whether we are police people, or whether we are lawyers. Being a mother and trying to instill in our children values and building this human being is one of the most challenging things. The fact that Maryam alayhi salam is so connected to Isa, you know, when we look at other prophets, most of the other prophets were orphaned very young, and their parents didn't have much influence, particularly their mothers didn't have much influence on them. Yet Isa alayhi salam is so linked to his mom's nature and her gentleness and her virtues, that they are inseparable from each other, that she has been giving this important task to raise this prophet. The sixth thing is patience. Her silence and patience, the sabr al-jameel. We talked about that in previous sessions when we were doing our Quran discussion groups. The beautiful patience that she has. The silence, yet the determination to push forward. She does not answer their accusations, but she pushes forward despite them. She succeeds despite them or in spite them. And the seventh one that relates to her patience and why she has this ability to and resilience to keep facing difficulties and keep moving forward is her trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's again linked to serenity. It's linked to her strength and her nature and character. Even when she didn't understand what was going on. You know, imagine this really, you know, young, fresh girl. She's a teenager. She's been told by angels that she's going to be carrying a child. This is shocking. You know, putting ourselves in this position when we're younger, how would we have handled that? And she asks, you know, how is this possible? I'm not even married. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that this is meant to be, this is how it is, and you are supposed to carry this child who will bring so much to the world. And she trusts in God's judgment and moves forward. She doesn't, you know, think about, running away or giving up or quitting on this position, or, you know, lamenting the fact that she has to do this and how unfair the world is. She goes ahead and she prepares herself for this position. And the eighth and last point is separation and hardship. The hardship that she faces and the separation from her family at a very young age. She was an infant when she was given away to the temple. Reflect in so many ways the journey of many of the mothers and the women who are listening to this, as migrant women, as women who have left their families to come here, and as a result experience this severe loneliness, experience being cut off from everything, you know, from their own mothers, from their own families, from support. You're on your own. And she sought solace in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and built that connection to give her that strength that replaces this loss that she experienced. And each one of us is able to be a Maryam in our own lives in one form or another. We might not carry all the attributes or be able to reach to her heights, but we have her as an example that it is possible, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks down upon us with kindness, that He sees in us women the ability to reach the highest levels of piety and to be an example to others, to perform our duties through purity of intention, and that we have these two roles, one as women, as in our role as wives, as mothers, as sisters, as daughters, and this role carries with it so much more than just a position. It carries these emotions and this strength, this soft, gentle strength, the serenity that is possible to come from this strength, and the ability to carry out a role of building the next generation. And our other role as human beings, basically, that we have the responsibility and the obligation as human beings, not just as women, but as human beings, to champion justice, to use our blessings to give of what we have, to do good in the world, to break stereotypes in our society, not because we want to, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clear boundaries of fairness and justice that we need to help implement on earth as representatives of Allah on earth, as being put in a position of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. It is not about proving a point. It's not about being a feminist. It's about being a human being who is serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not trying to prove that women can be like men, or that women are better than men, or that men are better than women. It's about knowing our strengths and knowing why we're here, our purpose, and being open to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. In many ways, you know, we are focused on what we want, what we would like to do in this world. And so when things don't go our way, we lose confidence in ourselves and our ability. But instead, it's about looking around and seeing, what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do? What is it that He's giving me a sign of? And this is what Maryam alayhi salam did. You know, if you ask a young girl, you know, who's thrown into this community, thrown into this temple with all these big men who are chauvinistic and who looked at her as an unclean person, who looked at her as weak and really be beneath them, what would she like to do? And her response, this young girl, would be to be with my mother, to be nourished and cherished and given the love and experience of family. But this was not her purpose in life. She was meant to take this step and move forward. And instead of, you know, crying about it, and instead of feeling really sorry for herself, which is, you know, an expected reaction, she took this as an opportunity to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of ways. Similarly, when she was facing giving birth to this child and the difficulty in being alone, she isolated herself from the negative community to nurture this child until she was ready to give birth, and then she, upon the orders of Allah, to move back to the community and do what she's supposed to do, be a mother and protect this child and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's wonderful to have plans, to have goals. This is really important. But on top of all of our goals should be, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from me? What is His plan for me? I'm going to go with that. So being flexible with our plan, and being wise and observant, and knowing ourselves and our strengths, is really important in making sure that we are effective in giving the best of ourselves and in being the best version of ourselves, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.